Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I'll be reading the first 17 verses, God's covenant promise to David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I will be reading verses 1 through 17. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. After the king was settled in the palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from the flock to be a ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning. And I have done ever since that time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 7. The key word for understanding our passage this morning is the word house. In these 17 verses of 2 Samuel 7, the Hebrew word for house is used 8 times. That is more times than any other place, any other concentrated passage of Scripture such as this. And what is even more interesting about this is that the word for house refers in this passage to 3 different things. In the first part of the passage, the word house refers to David's house. In some Bibles, like mine, it's translated palace. In verse 1, we read that the king is settled in his palace, or his house, and that the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. David has finally reached the point that the nation of Israel has been longing for. King David has conquered his kingdom. Throughout the book of Judges, the enemies of God's people would harass them. Every time the Israelites fell into sin, God would send the Philistines or another enemy of Israel to attack them for their unfaithfulness to God. And each time he would send a judge to rescue them, only temporary. But now there is peace in the land. We're told that God has given David rest from all his enemies around him. We're told that David the king is settled in his palace of cedar. Cedar wood was used for palaces of kings. The cedar wood could be polished shiny, and it was wood that did not decay. It represented the reign of a powerful king, a king that would reign for a long time. And what we read in verse 1 is the fulfillment of God's long-time promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. God said to Abraham, "Your people will inherit this land." God had them go through Egypt, out of Egypt into the promised land, and God has now given Israel their king and rest from their enemies. And so David, who is settled in his palace with all his enemies around him, given rest from them, he said to Nathan the prophet in verse 2, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." David has his palace built by the king of Tyre, chapter 5, verse 11, who brought the cedar logs and his carpenters and stonemasons. Yet God's ark is in a tent that David had pitched for it. So David tells Nathan that he should build a temple or a place for God. Nathan replies to the king in verse 3, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But the Lord appears to Nathan and tells him something different. And that brings us to the second use of the word house in our passage. The first use of the word in these first few verses we described in reference to David's house, David's palace. Now the word is used in reference to a house that David wants to build for God, a temple. David is in his house. David wants to build God a house. And the word comes to Nathan, and God tells Nathan in verse 5, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to one of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" God's answer to David is that I have been a God that has dwelled with my people. As my people have come out of Egypt, my tent has been in their midst. Wherever they have gone, I have been with them in this tent. I have never asked any of the rulers of the past, any of the shepherds of my people, to build me a house, much less a house of cedar. God is familiar with the ancient customs of the day. A king who has conquered his kingdom in the ancient world would often build a house or a palace or a temple for his God. He's conquered the kingdom. He believes that the God of his people has enabled him by divine favor to accomplish the conquering of his kingdom. And as a favor to the God, he builds him a palace, a temple, in the hope that that God would continue to give his divine favor to the king. The Egyptians did this. The Assyrians did this. The Philistines did this. Now David has conquered his kingdom. David is settled in the palace. And David's plan is to build God, the God who has given him these victories, a palace or a temple of cedar. But God tells David, no. Number one, I haven't asked for it. I haven't commanded you to do this. Don't do this on your own, per the custom of the ancient nations. But I am also a God of the people. I dwell with the people. Wherever they have gone, I have dwelled with them in a tent. And I have not asked for a house. So God tells Nathan in verse 8 to tell his servant David, I took you from pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. David was a shepherd. David is now the shepherd of God's people, and God has put him there. Verse 9, I have been with you wherever you have gone. God has first said to Nathan that he has been with his people in the tent out of Egypt all the way to the promised land. God has been dwelling with his people through the Ark of the Covenant. And now he tells David in verse 9 that I have been with you. David has lived in the caves away from King Saul. David has lived in the land of the Philistines away from King Saul. And God has been with David as God was with his people. Notice the wording in verse 8 compared to verse 5. In verse 5, God tells Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. In verse 8, he tells Nathan, go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The warrior God has been with David. The warrior God who fights God's enemies has been with David. Wherever David has gone, fighting down the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, and the enemies of God's people. So God tells Nathan in verse 9, I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, David, like the names of all the greatest men of all the earth, like Abraham, Joshua, Moses, Caleb. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning, and I have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. This is the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would give his people rest in the land. God now has seated David on that throne. He has enabled David to conquer the enemies of Israel, to give them a place so they are no longer a desert people, but so that they can be planted in this land. They can live in this land, the land of God's people, and have a home of their own, no longer being disturbed. And the wicked people that oppressed them in the days of the judges will oppress them no more. And that brings us this morning to the third way that God uses the word house in these verses. We first saw how the word house or palace refers to David's palace. We saw next how the word house, the word Hebrew word house, refers to the house or the temple that David wants to build God. And God's answer to David is, I don't need a house, because in verse 11b, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. The house of the Lord is not a temple of this earth. The house of the Lord is David's household, is David's descendants. God is going to build a house or a temple through David's descendants. Nevertheless, verse 12, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up for your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. David knows the ancient custom of the day. Once you have conquered your kingdom, you build a house or a temple for your God. And as long as that temple stands, no one dares attack the king who has conquered that kingdom. But so often in the ancient world, when the king passed away, that was the end of his kingdom, the end of his reign, the end of the rule of that God. God's promise to David is that your son, the next generation, will build my house. Not only is your kingdom established, but the kingdom of your descendants is established. He will build the temple. Solomon will build it for my name. Nevertheless, Solomon is not God's final answer, is he? For what does God say at the end of verse 14? When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. David's near descendant Solomon will be a faithful king, but he also will do wrong. David's descendants, the sons of Solomon, will cause a division in Israel. Soon after the days of Solomon, there will be a kingdom of the north and a kingdom of the south. David's sons will continue to reign on the throne of Judah of the south. And when they do wrong, God will send enemies to punish them, to flog them. But verse 15, my love will never be taken away from them. I took it away from Saul. Your sons, some of them will be as bad or do the same things as Saul. But my love will never be taken away from him. Verse 16, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. David's descendants, David's kingdom will endure forever. David's throne will be established forever. What could God be saying to Nathan? How can Solomon be the future king that will be established forever? What does God mean? Peter understood. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter is preaching after the day of Pentecost. And in Acts, chapter 2, verse 29, Peter declares this: brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to stay, just like God told Nathan. His days are numbered. David would pass away. And in Peter's day, David is still in that tomb. Verse 30, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would take place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus is the descendant of David. Jesus is on the throne forever. The line of David would continue to rule over the kingdom of Judah, but the Babylonians would come and destroy that kingdom of Judah. They would carry away the citizens of Judah to the land of Babylon, and there would be no king on the throne. For 400 years, the Israelites would wait and wait for a Messiah who would once again establish their kingdom. And like a father to a son, God sent his son. His son would take on the enemies of God's people. He would fight against sin. He would fight against temptation. He would drive demons out of their hearts and heal them of their diseases. He would die on the cross, experience death, going to the grave, and resurrecting in victory and life. And Peter concludes in his sermon, verse 34, "For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Father said to David's Lord, Jesus Christ, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." In the ancient world, if the enemies were a footstool for your feet, that meant that you had conquered them, that you had defeated them, that you were in control. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus has gone to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. He has conquered sin and death. He reigns on high. He tore down the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days. Because the household of David, not the palace David builds, not the palace Solomon builds, the household of David, Jesus Christ, is God's temple, is where God dwells, where God is present, and God is in heaven. And Jesus Christ came to bring God's people there. Do you see how our passage this morning applies to you? How what God said to David is not just for David's people, it's for you. Jesus is the true shepherd, verse 8. He pastures and shepherds his flock. He rules over God's people, God's church. God is with Jesus wherever Jesus has gone and where Jesus is now in the presence of God in heaven. Jesus has come and cut off your enemies. He has destroyed Satan and evil and death. His name is known among the greatest men of all the earth, verse 9. And he has gone to prepare a place for you. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Because Jesus Christ has planted you, his people, in that place where you have a home and can never or will ever be disturbed. Wicked people oppress you now. Sin and evil still abound. But God, through Jesus Christ, has defeated it. And you are secure in your soul. You belong to Jesus Christ in heaven, and no one can harm you. They may harm you on this earth, but your soul is secure forever in him. For God has come in Jesus Christ to tabernacle among you. Do you recognize what that is? The tabernacle of God meant that God's presence had come down in that tent to be with his people. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has tabernacled with us. He came to earth. He came to die. He came to be present with you so that he and you can be one. That you can know he sits on high in his palace where his kingdom is established, where he has planted you to be near him, near the river of life, near the tree of life. Oh, you may face the rod and the floggings inflicted by men, but God's love will never be taken away from his people. For those who belong to Jesus Christ, their house, their kingdom endures forever before God himself, and your salvation in him is secure. David was living in a house, a palace. He wanted to build God a house, a temple. God said, I will build your house, David. Your house which came to fruition in Jesus Christ, so that all of God's people could be with him and part of his kingdom, where he is ascended on high for all eternity. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this glorious passage. For we can see, Lord, the fulfillment, the Old Testament fulfillment of your promise to Abraham that you would give your people a king who would establish an earthly kingdom and give them peace from their enemies. Yet, Lord, we know that this was not a permanent kingdom, that it was not an eternal kingdom, for the descendants of David would fall into sin. And the kingdom of Judah would be destroyed. We are thankful, Lord, that you have established his house forever, that by the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, to tabernacle with us, you have conquered sin and death. You have given us new life. Your Spirit is upon us as you dwell within your people. We are thankful, Lord, that in Jesus Christ we have his victory. We recognize that someday you will take us to be with you in your house that you have built through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Help us through Jesus Christ to know that we are your sons, that you are our Father. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We belong to you as your children. Help us to recognize when sin and temptation comes along that we have the power of Jesus Christ at work in us. Be with us when we suffer from physical frailties. Help us to know that our soul is safe and secure in you forever. May we long for that day when our Savior will return, when there will be no more sin or death, but only Jesus Christ and His praise forevermore in Your temple in heaven. We pray all of this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.